RP Plus is a spoken word news show produced by culturally diverse youth in the Regent Park area. Produced by the Regent Park Focus Coalition, the show profiles the art and culture of young people as well as issues to do with youth, health, the Regent Park, and other urban communities. Tune into the voices,
music,
and poetry
of urban community youth
on Regent Park Plus.
Tuesdays
at 7:30 p.m.
on CKLN
88.1.
CKLN 88.1. My name is Michelle Cho, and I'll be your host for this evening. Today we have a wonderful lineup. Actually, we had a couple of guests, but now we're going to talk to Philip Gore is from the Regent Park community. And then we'll have a pre-taped segment later from another member from our community. Today's show is about who lives in Regent Park and how they express themselves. What I'm talking about are the artists here who live in the art community and who contribute to the wealth of our community, who may or may not get out there as much as we'd like. So I wanted to welcome Phil to our studio tonight and provide him the opportunity to share some of that creative energy that he has given back to the community here on CKLN. Thanks for coming, Phil.
No problem.
Phil is a poet, a writer. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself first before we move on to the heavy-duty questions?
Okay, well, I've lived in Regent Park now for approximately 10 years. I've done different things in the community. Just started writing recently, and I've got two children, married, and basically my writing just comes from inside.
What do you mean you just got started? How did you get started with writing?
Well, back when I was in my late teens, I used to perform with a lot of rock bands, and as a lead vocalist, a lot of time my job was providing lyrics when we tried to do original material. So I've always had a knack for putting words together, and after I got out of that, I just basically let the talent stagnate. I didn't use it for several years, and finally the creativity, you might say, just had to force its way out again. I just felt the compulsion to write.
And why don't you tell me about that experience? How did that happen?
Well, the first one I wrote recently was called Embrace Our Diversity, and that originally was supposed to be a painting that I wanted to do, and because I just liked the phrase Embrace Our Diversity. And one night I was working at one of my jobs, and there was a flyer on the wall which had the phrase on it, Embrace Our Diversity, and I just had to stop work right there and start writing. It was just like I had to come out. The words just started coming together.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel quite good, actually. Like I said, most of my writing comes from within. It's like a lot of views I have and feelings I have on different issues, which I write about. And it was kind of a release, actually, to do that again.
Okay, well, why don't we share with our listeners what we're talking about here, or what you're talking about. Do you want to read us Embrace Our Diversity? Why don't you do that?
We come from different lands, colors, creeds, and races. None of us alike, no two faces. some of us turn away. Difference is something bad. Choosing just what they see, it is truly sad. Yes, they turn away and refuse to see that there is beauty in diversity. There is one way to turn around and see the wonders of this world abound. We must strive to be, as each day goes by, the best that we can be, and that when we realize to embrace our diversity.
So, Phil, what do you hope to get out of it when you're, those are very powerful images, you know, and how you strung them together really leaves us with a really strong impression about what you're talking about. How do you, you know, what do you hope to get from writing something like that?
Well, basically, I hope that people who do enjoy it and think that it is, the words are good, can see the meaning that I'm trying to get across in them, which basically is, that's basically my view, that we're all the same. I mean, to me, there's no difference, no matter where you're from or what land, what your religion is, we're all the same.
And who would you say, I understand that you live in the community, you've lived in the community for a while, but who are you really trying to reach? Does it go beyond the community? Is it for your children? Is it for, you know, your friends? Who is it for? Who are you trying to reach?
Like I said, basically everybody, because Regent Park is a very diverse community. There's a lot of different cultures in there. And I've been involved with a few parent groups in that, and I'm always awestruck how so many different cultures with the right issues can come together. I mean, there's many differences, and like PTAs, you'll have many different cultures represented there. And basically, like I say, a lot of communities don't have that. Like, there's a lot of communities to basically see what the middle stanza says. So difference is something bad. They, you know, they want everything exactly the same. And it's basically make them see there's no difference.
Mm-hmm. So what has, aside from the differences, or maybe that's the only thing, but I'm not sure, what has really inspired your writing? Was there somebody when you grew up and was a writer as well? Tell me about that.
Well, I don't think there was any one particular writer. I've always had this creative impulse, whether I'm writing poetry or I'm doing art or I'm doing storyboards. I've done that. I do that sometimes too for stories, just write short ideas for stories down. I've always needed a creative release, and lately poetry's been it. I just basically think of an issue or a topic and just basically write down what I feel.
What about the other creative outlets that you're talking about? Painting? What other things do you do?
Oh, I do that. Like I said, I like to write up paints. I come up with ideas for stories, like I said. I've done a little singing here and there. I've done comedy as well. I've been at Yuck Yucks twice. I do voices. Like I said, I've always got to have some creative outlet going.
Phil, I understand that Embrace Our Diversity can be found in the community, pinned up at the local mall. And if everybody out there is familiar with the Regent Park community, you'll understand that where the mall is, it's kind of the only strip of stores in the community. How does that make you feel when you walk by, you go in to buy a loaf of bread or whatever, and you're seeing your own work pinned up?
Actually, that's quite a good feeling. It's hard to put into words when you see your work in print up anywhere. I mean, I've been published twice in the local newspaper. That was quite a thrill. And like I said, I'd like to go further with it. I'd like to see more of it up.
So you're talking about the Catch the Flava community newspaper?
Yes.
Okay. And how would you say living in Regent Park has influenced your writing, or has it influenced it at all?
Basically, yeah, it has influenced me. Like I was saying earlier, it's such a diverse community. It really helped influence this first one I just read. And just seeing the different cultures together and during many of the community celebrations and other things that go on in the park.
Okay. Tell me about how you move from the idea into a finished poem, and then maybe we could have you read another one.
Well, for me, it's a pretty quick process. I really go by inspiration. I'll hear a phrase, or I'll see something. Even it could be something as simple as a word in a commercial or something like that, and it just inspires me. And once I'm inspired, the words just basically flow, just like water. It just starts happening.
So you get your pen out, any piece of paper, it's just like, go nuts.
And it just goes.
And do you have to rework it a few times, or?
The couple I've had to rework. Like the first copy, I read over it again, and I don't like the way a particular line sounds, and I'll redo it. But the basic idea just flows. It just comes.
How do you know when it needs reworking?
Usually when I read over it. Because... if unfortunately my English and writing, sometimes it flows so fast, my spelling's off, or I'll think I wrote down a word. Like one time I was supposed to write great and I wrote get.
Uh-huh.
That was an error in the first copy of one writing, so when I read it back, get, okay. But that's usually the rewrites I have to do.
Okay, why don't you share us the next poem, Phil?
Okay. The next poem is called Today's Parent Are We. 9 months of anticipation, some planning for time and place. They come to us in innocence and helplessness, shining from their beautiful face. We must shape their lives as a sculptor with his clay, giving the benefit of experience to help guide them on their way. In a world full of stress and strife, we must show them right from wrong, for the future a better life to help make them strong. Yes, we must show them how bright their future can be. It's our duty, our pleasure, for today's parent are we.
When I read that for the first time, I was very moved by that. I thought, wow, like, and I, you know, it was just, I just felt really good. I'm wondering, your dad, how do your kids feel about it when they're reading their dad's poem in the community newspaper?
Oh, actually, my kids, they're kids, you know, the thrill comes and goes pretty quickly. They were like, oh, wow, and everything else. And the next day, you know, it's there. The novelty wears off quick.
Was it for them? Or who was that one for?
That was inspired by working at Parents for Better Beginnings, actually. Another community agency. I've seen the work they do there. And for the longest time, I was thinking, you know, I'd like to kind of write a poem the way a lot of parents who come around here feel, like trying to make things better for their children. And... There's a magazine they have, I think it's Today's Parent or some a title similar to that, and just seeing that word, just like I said, it happened. Today's Parent Are We, that got the title, and the words just flowed.
If a stranger, like I know you, but if a stranger read your poem, would that person get a sense of who you are through your writing, or do you keep the writer and Phil separate?
No. Basically, these first two are... They come from within. They're a pretty strong statement of what I believe in. So there's no difference between me and the writer. We're one and the same, basically.
Okay. So what else are you working on?
Right now, I'm trying to get some more poems together. I'm working on more. I'm trying to put a book together, actually. The working title is Reflections of My Soul. Because basically that's what, like I said, I write from, is my feelings and my views on a lot of things. And I'm in the process, and I'm finding it a lot harder than I thought it would be, even though the words come easy for me. I'm looking at I'm trying to put together at least 25 pages and come up with 25 poems. Just, it's not as easy as I thought.
Wow. Did you ever think you would... call yourself a writer, get this far? I mean, putting together a book is a pretty big deal.
Actually, to be honest, no, I didn't. It's, like I said, it's just something I used to do when I was younger, and I was away from it for an awful long time. I mean, over 20 years, and I just put the pen down, and it's just started happening. I just started writing. And no one trying to put a book together, so no. Honestly, I didn't think that it would come this far.
That's amazing. Where can people find your poetry if they wanted to get a hold of it?
Well, the first two, like we said earlier, the first two that I just read were published in Catch the Flava. And I'm also going to try to include those two in my book to make my writing chores easier, since they're already down. And, well, basically that's all they've been now. Plus, there's Parents for Better Beginning has a Brace Our Diversity up on their wall as well. So that's about all for now, where you can find them.
Okay. And we can get you the addresses of where you can pick up a Catch the Flava at the end of the show, or even PFBB, that's Parents for Better Beginnings. Is there anything else, Phil, that you would like to share with other young writers or artists out there in our community and outside?
Basically, it's to create. I mean, everybody loves to create something. I don't care who you are. Everybody likes to do something. There must be, whether it's art or whether it's building something or whatever, everybody likes to create something.
Okay. All right. Any last words?
No, not really. Let's just watch for my book. I should be having it out soon. I'm working hard at it. And hopefully it'll get some response and I can really get serious about this.
Okay. We are going to take a short music break and we're going to come back with another artist from the Regent Park community. And yeah, so stay tuned. You're listening to RP Plus on CKLN. I'm Michelle Cho.
From those who orchestrate his systematic demise. Action silent, gentlemen, for noise alerts the public as he slips through cracks due to insufficient facts, which will prove detrimental if found out. So he's only loud amongst his own in the zone of all truth spoken. Lend your ear as subconscious messages are broken. Exposed are tokens while expressions leave you open. Poets, thank you as you're welcome to revolution. Words begin.
Hi, you're listening to CKLN. It's RP Plus, and what you just heard was a little sample of Black Cat with the poet's intro. I'm Michelle Cho, and what we're talking about today is how residents in the Regent Park community express themselves and what some of those outlets are. We earlier had in the studio Phil, who talked about his writing. And our last resident profile for this evening is a visual artist. She isn't here in the studio with me today, but recently I did have the opportunity to visit a First Nations exhibition at the Simcoe Gallery down by Simcoe and Adelaide Streets, where I went down to see the work of Linda Swinemer. And Linda Swinemer is a longtime resident of Regent Park and an active community member. It was while Linda was learning about her own Mi'kmaq background did she start exploring with watercolors and acrylics and whatever else, oils, pastels. That evening was my first time to an opening of an art exhibit, so I went around seeking other young faces to find out if it was their first time.
So what brings you here today?
Well, my uncle is doing a show here today. It's Phil Cote. I'm here with my mother.
And what is your name, sorry?
Raimi Cote.
Okay. Is this your first time to an art display, to an art exhibit?
No, it's not.
What do you think of them then?
Well, I think it's really great. The art's really good and, you know, good colors, good material. The canvas is good.
what do you know about art exhibits? Because a lot of young people may not know what this experience is all about. Can you walk us through maybe your first experience?
Well, when I first drew a picture, it's like, I don't know, it's going to another world. It feels great, you know, drawing, because you can just draw anything. You can just draw another person, yourself, like this one right here. It's my uncle did this one right here. That's his father right there, right? You know, he did that while his past, you know, but it's pretty good.
Can you describe some of the things that you've seen?
Well, there's just one of them in the art gallery number 2 over here. And one of them is really bright, good colors, not flow, it's like diagonally. It's like bright color, just captures your eyes. Like you can't just put your eye somewhere else, it just grabs it right away.
That was 12-year-old Remy Cote. Even she was absolutely captured by the colors in gallery number 2, where you can find a couple of Linda's work, Ovid Mercredi and Horse Child. I putted around the gallery, its white walls filled with splashes of tangerine orange, cayenne red, algae greens, and felt kind of awkward with my microphone in my hand rather than a glass of wine. So then I charged at another young woman, and she was kind to me too.
So I'm here at the gallery with Melanie. And Melanie, what brings you here?
I am here to see my sister's boyfriend's mother's work.
And you seem to be one of the few young people here. I'm not sure how old you are, but are you here as just an observer, or are you going to shop around?
I have shopped already.
Yes. And what did you purchase?
I believe it's the Sleeping Chief.
Okay. What do you, as a young person coming to one of these galleries, what did you hope to get from it?
Well, I'm interested in learning more about First Nations people, and I wanted to see what it was all about. I wouldn't miss it for the world because it is a relative's first time actually showing her art, so I, you know.
And who's your relative?
Linda Swinemer.
Okay. Why did you say that you wanted to, why did you say that you're interested in finding more about Native art?
Because in all honesty, I really didn't learn much in school, and I'm just now finding out more about it because I'm in college, and it's really interesting me to learn more about the first people that lived here.
What about, what were your first impressions of this display, of this exhibit tonight?
Well, at first I didn't know how to act. I've never been to one of these before, but it's very relaxing and the art is beautiful.
So I finally had a chance to catch up with Linda, the artist, who was just chuckling because she had just sold her very first piece, art piece, Sleeping Chief is what it's called.
I already sold one, yeah.
How does it feel to sell some of your stuff, Lynn?
I can't believe it. I'm really shocked. It feels great. Knowing that Ann Diane will get a little kitchen center for the kids, that's what they wanted. So that's great. It just feels great.
It's a parfaire.
It's a parfaire for the women.
Is this the first time you've had your work displayed in an exhibit like this?
Yes, absolutely. First time, yeah. And I'm happy.
And how did you make that transition from, say, the basement of a place like Regent Park Focus to an art gallery like this?
Well, someone saw some of my art and called me and asked me if I'd submit a portfolio, which I did, and the curator, Franco's a great guy, really liked my stuff, and here we are in the gallery. So that's how it happened, very quickly and spontaneously, and everything looks groovy.
Did you ever expect to be hobnobbing with people like this and having your work displayed like in a place like this?
Never. I never. Well, I because it's a hobby, and my whole focus is on donating to different organizations. I never thought it would go any further than just a bunch of prints. So, to me, this is selling originals, and money going to different agencies is very exciting for me. And I hope they all enjoy it.
Why is it so important for you to get that money somewhere else? Why wouldn't you think of pocketing it?
Well, I don't believe in selling my art. It's a hobby, like I said. It's a therapy for my hands. it's just a gift, and I just believe it should be seen instead of sold. But if this is one way for Focus and different organizations to get prints sold, then I'm here, and I'm here for the kids.
Where's some of the funds being donated this time?
Okay, Aunt Diane, which is a women's shelter on Spadina, women and children's residence, and sending a mentally challenged kid from Park Regent Park to camp this year. So yeah, that's really neat. I'm proud. And if I can get some art supplies for some of the art programs, that's another thing. So yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us on CKLN at RP Plus?
No, just everybody out there, just remember our youth and get out there and donate and volunteer and have fun. Kids are kids, and they're only kids for a little while, so get out there and have fun with them.
So there you have it. If you haven't had a chance to check out the exhibit, don't worry. There's still time. The exhibition is on until this Saturday. That's February 20th. The Simcoe Gallery is located at 136 Simcoe Street and is open from Wednesday to Saturday from 12 to 5 p.m., so check it out. And if you have trouble getting down there before Saturday, need not worry. You can see Linda's prints right in the Regent Park Focus Community Drop-In, and that's located at 600 Dundas Street East, the rear basement. You can buy prints there too. For more information, our number is 863-1074. That's 863-1074. I'd like to thank my guests this evening, Phil Gore, and also would like to thank Linda when I dropped in on her during her opening. RP Plus is produced in partnership with the Tippett Foundation, and it's on every Tuesday evenings at 7:30, so catch us weekly. If you have any comments or questions about our show, you can reach us at Regent Park Focus. Again, that number is 863-1074. Lastly, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Chinese New Year, Gong Hei Fat Choi, and I'd like to send a shout out to my very, very good buddy, my friend Farah. Happy birthday, bird! You've been listening to Michelle Cho for RP Plus on CKLN 88.1. And I'd like to thank Adonis Huggins this evening, who was our technical support. Next on is Kenya McCann on CKLN 88.1.